Good morning and welcome to Morning Manna Podcast. Let's just open our prayer and say, Lord, thank you for this day, Lord, that you have made. And help us, Lord, to have joyful, happy hearts in this day, Lord, knowing that you are with us. You will never leave us, forsake us, God, but we can count on your loving kindness, Lord, your long suffering towards us, and Lord, your justice that will be served in your time and in your fashion. So as we read some hard things today, Lord, I pray that we would understand the love and the mercy that flows from you. So bless this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are in the book of Hosea, and remember we started in chapter 4 last week, and this is where the prophet Hosea kind of turns into the prosecutor Hosea. He's levying the charges that God has against the northern kingdom. And so I want to just go back a little bit to verse 7, break it down a little bit for understanding for us. And in verse 7 it says, the more they increased, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. So remember, the kingdom, the people, they are prospering. They've forsaken God. They've not forsaken God. They've just put God in the same priority as all of the other idols that they are worshiping. And so They're sinning against God. First commandment, we know that they are sinning against God. But as they prospered financially, they were sinning against him. Now that puts a hole in all of the prosperity theology, because preachers will tell you that if you're walking in godliness, then, you know, you're going to prosper financially. But here God says that prosperity itself can create the problem. So it's not always God's plan for his people to prosper financially. Yes, he's going to bless us exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, but there's also times where we're going to experience difficulties and challenges, in physical challenges, financial challenges, emotional challenges, because he knows that we have this tendency within us, I know I do, to forget him when things start going too easy. And then verse 8 and 9, it says, they feed on the sin of my people, they are greedy for their iniquity, and it shall be like people, like priests, I will punish them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. Now, people follow after people. No man is an island. And so the priests were the ones that were erring. They were worshiping idols right along with everyone else. And so every one of us affects another one. So God says, I'm going to repay them for their deeds. And then in verse 10, it says, they shall eat, but not be satisfied. They shall play the whore, but not multiply. Because they have forsaken the Lord to cherish whoredom, wine, and new wine, which take away the understanding. You know, and the psalmist wrote in Psalm 107, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. So they shall eat and not be satisfied. So what satisfies us? What is our bread? Jesus said, I am the bread of life. It is the word of God that we feed on. But it says they're not satisfied. So they're not acknowledging the true source of satisfaction, but where does satisfaction reside in us? It resides in our hearts. Is your heart happy? Is your heart joyful? Well, Jeremiah said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who could know it? Well, these people are cherishing wine and new wine, so we have a hard enough time knowing our own hearts without cherishing wine and clouding the issue with all of those things. And in verse 12, my people inquire of a piece of wood, and their walking staff gives them oracles, for the spirit of whoredom has led them astray, and they have left their God to play the whore. The piece of wood, of course, is the wooden idols that had taken the place of God. The staff is their walking staff, but they would use it also to practice with different rods to make decisions, instead of waiting on the Lord for guidance. And then verse 13, they sacrifice on the tops of the mountain and burn offerings on the hills under oak, poplar, terebinth, because their shade is good. Therefore, your daughters play the whore, your brides commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they play the whore, nor your brides when they commit adultery, for the men themselves go aside with prostitutes and sacrifice with cult prostitutes, and a people without understanding shall come to ruin. Now the context here is of the prostitution that accompanied the worship of fake gods. It is, if this sin could not be dealt with individually, it was so infectious that the entire nation would have to fall to cure the sin from the people. But men, did you understand the warning that is given to us right here in these verses? Remember, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we'll close out. Though you play the whore, O Israel, let not Judah become guilty. Enter not into Gilgal, nor go to Beth-Aven, and swear not as the Lord lives. Don't go to these places. Don't go to Gilgal. Gilgal is where they offered sacrifices to idols. It was one of the two cities that they would go to sacrifice idols. Beth-Aven, instead of Bethel, house of God, Beth-Aven, house of vanity. And then verse 16, like a stubborn heifer, Israel is stubborn. Can the Lord now feed them like a lamb in a broad pasture? A stubborn heifer speaks of one who is trying to pull away from the yoke, refusing to bear the yoke of God's love and protection. Following the Syrian invasion, the people are going to be scattered. And God says, Ephraim is joined with idols, leave him alone. When their drink is gone, they give themselves to whoring. Their rulers dearly love shame. A wind has wrapped them in his wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. You know, it's a sad thing when God says, I'm giving up. No more mercy. I'm giving you over to what you want. Your heart is chasing after these idols. I'm going to give you over to that, to your lewdness. Ephraim has joined idols. Leave him alone. Their drink is gone. They commit adultery. The rulers love dishonor. So this society didn't see fit to mind what God had said, and so God will give them an unfit mind to go after these idols and to worship these false gods, and then they're going to be carried away as if blown by the wind. So we'll pick it up in chapter 5 next week. Let's just close in prayer and say, Lord, thank you, God, that you show us mercy and grace. And your mercy is new this morning and every morning. And so, God, as we walk through our day, Lord, may we just keep our eyes focused on you, Lord, listening for that still small voice and guiding us and directing us in the way we should go. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.